Good morning. May it please the court. Nicole Walker on behalf of the appellant Lucius French. The trial court erroneously enhanced Mr. French's sentence of possession of a firearm by a person prohibited when it applied the minimum mandatory provision of the habitual offender statute. The reason the court applied that provision was because it erroneously concluded that Mr. French's conviction in this case was a violent felony. A little bit of a background, the statutory construction cases has several layers to it. But in this case, the state alleged that Mr. French was prohibited because of a maintaining offense, which is nonviolent felony. At a jury trial, Mr. French stipulated to the fact that he was prohibited. And as the trial court points out below, when you enter a stipulation, you're agreeing to all the underlying facts. So he stipulated that he was prohibited because of the maintaining, a nonviolent offense. After trial and his conviction, the state moved to have him declared a habitual offender. The motion did not mention anything about their intent to have him declared a habitual and have the minimum mandatory sentence provision apply, or that they considered this possession a violent felony. But on the day of trial, on the day of sentencing, the state said that that's what they were going to do. They said that the possession by a person prohibited was a violent felony, and therefore the minimum mandatory applied. Defense counsel argued to the contrary, and the trial court rejected that and rejected the subsequent motion for reconsideration. This issue actually has several interlocking parts. This first starts with what is possession of firearm by a person prohibited and what does the state have to prove? As the trial court pointed out, the prior conviction is an essential element of the offense. So it's not an aggravator for sentencing. It's an element of the offense that must be proved beyond reasonable doubt. So here the state had to prove that Mr. French possessed a weapon and that he was prohibited because of the maintaining. And they did that. So the question then becomes, is that a violent felony under 4201C? 4201C refers to 1448E, which is the person prohibited statute. But in its parenthetical shorthand, it mentions possession a violent felon. So 1448E is a violent felony when we're talking about possession by a violent felon. And violent felon, unfortunately, is not defined anywhere in the code. So both the state and the court assumed that that meant anybody who's ever been convicted of a violent felony. But looking to 1448E to try to figure out what a violent felon is what's necessary here, and that doesn't clear anything up. There's two subsections in 1448E. One discusses an individual who's been convicted of a violent felony, previously convicted of a violent felony, not referencing that this specific prohibition had to be because of that violent felony. But then in subsection 2, it addresses individuals who are prohibited because of a conviction of a violent felony. And what's significant here is 1448E, where it talks about a prior conviction of a violent felony, those are statutory enhancers. It's not what an essential element of the offense that is necessary for the conviction. So to get insight as to what 1448E refers to and what's a violent felon, the court can look to the legislative history since the statute's not clear. When E was enacted into the prohibited statute, it was enacted under a bill entitled Firearms, Possession of Drug Dealers, and Violent Felons. And it talked about being prohibited because of drug dealing, which isn't what we're dealing with here. But in the section, it talks about any person who is prohibited because of a conviction of a felony involving physical injury or violence. And in the synopsis, the court said the bill was designed to protect individuals, protect society from violent felons having weapons. Thus, the indication we get from that synopsis is that The violent felon is someone who has been prohibited because of a violent felony. So that takes us back to what Mr. French was convicted of in this case, and that was he was prohibited because of maintaining, which was a non-violent felony. So the fact that he has some violent felony somewhere in the past, which members of this court have called into question that it should be a violent felony anyways, does not render him a violent felon for purposes of his conviction here. As a result of that, his sentencing as a habitual offender should have been based on 4214A without the minimum mandatory provision, which would have allowed the court to sentence him from 1 year to life in prison, rather than multiplying his minimum by 8 years to life in prison. And that's significant because in this case, Mr. French was not convicted of any other crimes associated with this offense, and he was prior offenses, including that violent felony, had only received 90 days of probation. So this offense, which was deemed violent, made him automatically took away discretion from the court and gave him 8 years mandatory in prison, when the most he'd received incarceration in the past was 90 days. Because the trial court falsely relied on the presumption that this was a violent felony, this matter should be reversed so the trial court can impose a sentence of 1 year to life in prison, and if it deviates from that 1 year, to give some explanation as to why it's doing that. And perhaps more importantly here, that this not be designated as a violent felony for purposes of his record for the future, for the stigma that attaches in future enhancement statutes, sentences. Unless the court has any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If it pleases the court, Timothy Donovan for the state. As best I understand it, it seems to me that my friend Ms. Walker is really raising an Apprendi argument that the state should have alleged in the indictment and then should have been put to its proof to convince the jury, the trier of fact, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the defendant was a person prohibited, a violent felon in possession of a deadly weapon. But 1448E is very clearly a sentence enhancement statute. To prove the crime itself, the substantive crime under 1448A, the state only need allege one prior felony conviction, need not allege any particular one. Generally, when we charge the offense, we charge the one that we think is going to be easiest to get a certified copy of the conviction for. It's usually a more recent offense, and I believe the state escape after conviction here was the January 99 offense. So that one was the farthest back in time. So we charged one of the other two. I forget. I think it was maintaining a vehicle from 2000, and the third one was tampering with physical evidence in 2008. So,
if I understand you, are you suggesting that this is kind of much ado about nothing because the state could have made the predicate or the underlying felony be the escape after conviction, which clearly is a violent felony, yeah, and therefore we would be right where we are right now, yeah, but the state used a different prior offense, and that should not be significant?
Yes, that's exactly true. The state, since he had three felony convictions, when it came time to indict for 1448A, we chose one of the three, and we could have chosen any one of the three, and rather than escape after conviction, whoever drew up the indictment may have been based on the police officer's warrant. I don't know. I talked to the prosecutor, but he was not the one who indicted the case, and he had no idea why I was maintaining a vehicle rather than one of the other two either. He suggested it was probably the one that was easiest to get that seemed to be the easiest to get the certified copy for, to prove it in court. And, I mean, Ms. Walker has gone over the statutory revolvings that you have to do to go to 4201C as a violent felony. And by the way, 1448E3, as the trial just pointed out, does designate, does send you to 4201C to put the list of violent felonies, and of course escape after conviction is listed there as a violent felony. So as far as rejecting the Apprendi argument, as the judge did, pointed out, A, defendant stipulated it to it. B, it's Apprendi, by its terms, specifically excludes prior convictions from sentence enhancements. And B, Apprendi only applies for when the offense increases the statutory maximum. And here we're talking about increasing the statutory minimum. And D, let me add that the defendant, by receiving 8 years, received no more than the judge could have imposed had he not been found a habitual offender. That's the statutory maximum, and the judge could have ordered under called K time that the entirety of the sentence be served. It could have made the sentence a mandatory minimum. So.
Let me be clear about that. You're not suggesting that because the court could have reached the same sentence without using the minimum mandatory provision, it doesn't matter that.
Well, I'm not, under Apprendi, it may not. I'm not sure. Now, I realize the defendant has waived the Apprendi argument, but it seems to me under Apprendi, I think the sentence received does have to exceed the statutory maximum. But I could be wrong about that. No, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I'm just saying in this case, that's
fine.
How it played out. And also, I mean, talking about violent felonies, I mean, it's undoubted that the underlying offense here, I realized all due to witness cooperation problems, of course, we were unable to go forward with anything but the possession of a firearm by a person prohibited charge because of our two neutral witnesses who were the school teachers. But certainly the circumstances surrounding this offense were not innocent. There was violence. The gun was discharged. There was a melee. There was a crowd of people. And discharging a firearm in a crowd of people, it certainly in anybody's book counts as a crime of violence. Mr. French is somewhat disingenuous in arguing, not that my colleague is disingenuous at all, but Mr. French himself raising the argument that he should not be designated as a violent felon in light of the facts surrounding this offense is somewhat misleading.
Can I back up for a second and just make sure that the question is whether this felony is a Title 11 violent felony. Now, is the possession charge always a violent felony, or is it only a violent felony if the predicate was a violent felony itself?
No, it's not always. It's designated a violent felony under 4201C. Only if the defendant is a violent felon, again under 4201C, at the time of the possession.
So you become a violent felon regardless of what the predicate is, as long as in your record you have a violent felony conviction.
I believe the judge said it's a status, and that status has followed then Mr. French ever since the conviction of escape after conviction in 1999. So from that point forward, for sentence enhancement purposes, wherever that phrase violent felon appears, then Mr. French was subject to the sentence enhancement provisions of whatever statute, whether it's the habitual offender statute, 1448E, wherever that may appear. Thank you.
Just two quick points to address the two questions that were raised. First, with respect to even if he could have received 8 years otherwise, Apprendi does point out, and in that case, the typical sentence was 5 to 10 years, but the statutory aggravator increased the maximum range from 10 years to the minimum. So it did increase it. So he could have gotten 10 years under either one, and the court noted that potential doubling of one sentence is more than a nominal effect. To address Vice Chancellor Noble's question with respect to a violent felon, that's precisely the problem, is there is no definition of violent felon. For example, a person may consider a habitual offender somebody who's been convicted 20 times of theft, but the legislator has designated precisely what a habitual offender is. So while we may think, well, someone's been convicted of a violent felony, they're a violent felon, that's not what's specifically defined, and in fact the legislative history indicates that it is the prohibition because of a violent felony that makes him a violent felon.
What about the issue? Would you agree that if this charge had been based upon the escape after conviction instead of the maintaining, that would clearly put him in the category of the enhanced?
Absolutely.
So what's going on here is that the state chose the wrong underlying crime?
They chose not to prove beyond reasonable doubt the wrong underlying crime.
Was there any question about the escape after conviction being proven?
No, there was not. But the problem, by standards of sentencing, no, there was not. The problem here, the distinction here, is that the prior offense is an essential element of the conviction. So let's take, for example, theft. It's not a perfect analogy. But let's say the state proves that a theft in that the person stole $56,000. So they then are convicted of a Class E felony. But then at sentencing, they want to say, we'd like you to sentence him as a Class C felony. But the trial court can't do that, and that's what's happening here. It's the elements weren't met for the conviction that's necessary. It's not an aggravating factor, which if it were an aggravating factor, then arguably the court could use the escape, which is what qualified him as getting a one-year min-man to begin with, is because he did have a prior conviction. The question is this offense a violent offense? And that's based on what the state proves at trial.
Okay. And what's your response to the argument that violent felon is a classification that attaches to you the minute you've been convicted of any one violent felony under the statute?
The answer to that is that's nowhere supported by the law, either statutorily or case law. That's not defined. Like I said, you could be convicted several times of theft.
Well, okay, but what we know it's not defined.
Right.
But to the extent that we're trying to determine what an appropriate definition is.
Correct.
What is the reason why the classification type of definition shouldn't be used? In other words, what about the structure of the enhanced, the habitual offender statutes or the General Assembly's comments or anything like that, why should we not simply say violent felon, although undefined, means any person who has been convicted of the listed violent felonies at any point in the past?
Two reasons. One is 1448E includes a couple of subsections. The first subsection that it deals with for sentence enhancing purposes talks about someone who's been convicted of a prior violent felony. It doesn't talk anything about the because. Subsection 2 talks about someone who has been sentenced prohibited because of. So they've set two classifications there. So that doesn't really help, I don't believe. So looking at the legislative history, if you go back to the first enactment of E, the legislators enacted, originally E said, someone who's been prohibited because of a violent felony. Okay, so that would be what, that would be the element of the offense the state would have to prove. And in the synopsis, they refer to that person, the because of, as a violent felon. So that shows that the legislature intended the term violent felon to refer to someone who is prohibited because of the other thing, the other charge.
But the statute doesn't say that.
It does not, and it's not clear one way or the other.
Well, it's clear that you can be a person prohibited simply on the basis of any felony conviction.
That's correct.
And then it's clear that possession of a deadly weapon by a person prohibited is defined as a violent felony.
If it's possession by a violent felon. In the if you look at 4201C, and it lists 1448E, and you go off to the side, it puts in parens possession, and then it says by
firearms or destructive weapon purchased, owned, possessed, or controlled by a violent felon.
Correct.
But any person that's been convicted in the state or elsewhere of a felony or a crime of violence is subject to being classified as a person prohibited from possessing a deadly weapon. And the only requirement for the enhanced punishment that I see in 4214A is that the minimum provision applies when the fourth or subsequent felony is a Title 11 violent felony, and possessing a firearm while being a person prohibited is a violent felony.
It is not a violent felony. Are you?
It is.
No, respectfully, it is not always a violent felony. Because if you had someone who, let's say he didn't have the escape charge in his history, and he had been convicted of forgery, a felony forgery, and then he possessed the weapon as a person prohibited, the statute, nowhere in the person prohibited statute does it say that you're a violent felon. It doesn't say that. It the only thing that gives us help is E, which is still isn't very helpful. When it talks about someone who has been, in subsection 1, it talks about someone who has had a prior violent felony. It enhances.
Well, it just says anyone who's a prohibited person, and that could include someone who's committed any felony.
Who's had a prohibited person, and I believe it talks about enhancing the statute, enhancing the sentences based on.
Yeah, it's only talking about the minimum sentence that will apply.
That's right. So what that refers to, though, is that 1448 is what the 4201 refers to, is the subclass in E 1, 2, or 3, where it's talking about the prior convictions of felony, arguably. But you also have E 2, which talks about those who have been prohibited because of the prohibition, the violent felony.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.